Tookie, who signed my thesis. Of course, my thesis had nothing to do with Tookie, but Harold Cramer was a visiting professor, so he had very little to do with my thesis, too, but had some more.
Okay,
certainly more.
So tell us the story.
He let me and Carlin was there. In 1965 or later, in Berkeley. So at that time, fellow was alive, but his second volume had just come out. I forgot which year. You can check the year. Maybe later. Only a few years before Fowler died. So it was a sad story. And you know, Cramer was a very formal person, very dignified. He had a very high position and also a very gentle person. Usually he did not criticize anybody. He would not even criticize a young student or assistant. He would not. But with Fowler, there's something. I know he actually helps Fowler. Without Fowler, Cramer, Fowler would have real trouble. He had to leave Germany. Because I think he was partly Jewish, but I don't know what the reason was. He had to leave Germany. He go to Kiel, and then Cramer took him from Kiel. Without Cramer, Fowler would have difficulty. Also, Fowler's wife, I know, was an active spy almost. He was passing, he was very good. He would try to help the refugees, I think, in Kiel, between Germany and Denmark. She, being a Danish woman, trying to help. So anyway, Fowler got in trouble. I may have got story a little bit mixed up. And Cramer took him. But for some reason, I think scientifically, they did not see eye to eye. So I remember the story, that remark Cramer made. He asked me, have you seen Fowler's volume 2? Of course, we all saw it. Carlin was there too, but I don't think he remembered it. I said, you have it? Yes. So I asked him politely, what do you think of it? He said, no, this is what I'm going to recall. I remember the very well. Harold Cramer, in his very dignified way. And his wife was sitting next to him. Because Carlin and I were inviting them to lunch with us. So Carlin and I were hosts. Maybe my wife was there, I forgot. And Cramer and his wife. He said, now Cramer said, it's a short story. Only Masmerin would appreciate it. It's not a story you could tell ordinary people. He said, if you put all the words like exciting, fantastic, fascinating, all into the index of Fowler's volume 2, it will occupy 10 pages. You understand the story?
That's a nice story.
Because,
true story.
That's true story, he told me, that the fellow had a paper in which he was using his bombastic style as usual. Fantastic, exciting. Tremendous. He would consider everybody else's proof as wrong, too long, too complicated, or wrong. Only his own proof was correct. That's where Dubno said, what he said. Only his proof. No matter how many people have proved it, his proof is only one.
From the beginning.
Fowler was proud of his English. His English was very good, but his accent was strong, almost as strong as mine. And he writes well, but in the European style, not in American style. Certainly not the colloquy. But the point is, Fowler was also very proud he knew English grammar. But he did not know there are other foreigners, such as myself, who spent many years studying very difficult grammar. So I know the details of English grammar. So one time I caught him at a grammatical mistake. It's a proposition. I wish I could remember it. I could remember later. Instead of a with, it should be to, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's difficult for a person who did not study.
For me, impossible.
Yeah, it's almost impossible. Yeah. Actually, many Americans also use wrong preposition, you know. Preposition. If I remember, I'll tell you. But he looked up in the dictionary. No, that's something I can respect Fowler for. When I told him, he was very mad. Impossible. I know English very well. This must be with or to, I forgot. It's one of the two words. I said, please look at a big dictionary. And he went immediately to look at the very big dictionary. I don't know, maybe Oxford is best, you know. Webster is not so good. He looked up. I was right. He was wrong. But he told me later. So he was a good man. He told me, yes, you're right. He called me Chungus. He never called me Chung. He put I-U-S only because it's Confucius. Because sometimes I was very, I corrected him, you know. So he joked with me. Instead of calling me Chung, he put I-U-S. The Confucius ends with I-U-S.
So
often Confucius also was Chinese. Uh-huh. So he would, in his jocular mood, when he was happy with me, he would call me Chungus. So that time, of course, I was right about the grammar, and he was wrong about the grammar. So he called me Chungus. I can show you books in which he gave me. He gave me several books. He writes always Chungus. And it was very friendly. He also, in memory of very good times, because at that time it was a good time, you heard it. Yeah.
Sure. We you've helped him with this first volume also.
Oh yeah, I also helped him. Yeah. Same as
Danska, and I believe he acknowledged.
Oh yeah, yes, yes, certainly. Yeah. He was very kind about it. Yeah. I partly, I was on his government project, you know, that was money. He gave me some extra money. Those days, you got some extra money if you did this work. Danska, I think, also. But actually, Danska worked more or less with Katz, less with Fella. He was Katz. I was hired by Katz, by Fella. I got my job so Fella, so I was certainly his. He hired
At Cornell.
Cornell, yeah. It was he who hired me, not Cornell. He had a government project.
Very good.
So good story, right?
Absolutely.